To be well known of men, I may not ever be. I'm sure my name will not go down in history. There'll be no marble plaque to tell of my good deeds, nor any great parades to honor me. But there's a record book my name is written in. It was recorded there when I was born again. No one can blot it out. It's sealed forevermore. It's in that book of life, kept by the Lord. For every deed I do, for every word I say, there is a record kept until the judgment day. My name will not be lost, misplaced or overlooked, for it's kept safely in God's record book. For there's a record book my name is written in. It was recorded there when I was born again. No one can blot it out. It's sealed forevermore. It's in that book of life, kept by the Lord. For there's a record book my name is written in. It was recorded there when I was born again. No one can blot it out. It's sealed forevermore. It's in that book of life, kept by the
I don't know if I've ever heard that song before. But I'm thankful to know that my name may never go down in history books. And I'm okay with that. My name may never be on some big billboard or anything like that, but my name has been written and recorded in the most famous book of all. And he knows my name. And he's expecting me one day after a while. He's looking for me. And he knows the day and the time and the very moment that he's going to call me home. Until that time, he's left us here to labor and work for him. And I'm looking forward to seeing him one day after a while. I'm looking forward to beholding him in all of his glory. Seeing the one that died and gave his life for me. I'm looking forward to that one day after a while. Anything on your heart this morning before we move further in the service? Anything need to be said or done? I'd encourage you this morning to follow the Lord. Do what God might lay upon your heart this morning. I've got several thoughts, and I'll be honest with you, this week I struggled somewhat to get settled in maybe the thought that the Lord had for us, and we kept coming back to a few pages of Scripture, and we want to try with the Lord's help this morning to try to expound upon those things, and we hope and pray that you might get something out of them this morning, and I pray that God, Jesus said, "He that hath ear, let him hear." And my prayer is this morning that he might open up your ears and he might open up your heart that you might receive the word and that it might settle into your heart this morning. For those of us that know him, and even for those of us this morning, by your actions and by the things you tell us that you're lost and separated from God, I pray this morning that he might convict you and I pray that you might call out to him and be saved. I believe this morning that God has called us not only to be saved, but once we're saved, to labor and to work for him, to glorify his name. Not merely to what you'd say, come into the Lord's house and what you'd say, kind of go through the motions, if you will, but to come into his house and glorify him, the one that died and gave his life for you. This morning that we might exalt him, that he might be lifted up for the world to see, especially this morning here in this place. We're not promised tomorrow, but we've got right now to serve him and to praise his holy name. And this morning that would be our desire, that we would do those things, that we might lift him up to a lost and dying world, that we might, if you will, we can't save anybody, but we might encourage those that are lost to seek the Lord while there's time, to seek him out while he is near. This morning, that's our desire. I pray that's our desire as God's people. But there ought to be an earnestness within our heart that those that are lost, that they need to be saved. Because, my friend, I believe time may be drawing near, but whether or not if it is, listen to me. I know that we've got one less day than we had yesterday. I know that. And time is drawing. I don't know when he'll return, but I do believe that the Scripture tells us that he'll come back as a thief in the night. And we need to be ready and be prepared. Be ready and be prepared. I want to, if you will, I'm going to be taking some reading out of 2 Chronicles. Was maybe a few weeks ago, maybe a month or so ago, we preached here about David. And David had an earnestness about him. He had a desire in his heart that as he seen that the Lord dwelt there in the tabernacle in a tent, and as he, David, had his own dwelling house, that he had a desire in his heart to build a house unto the Lord. But we know there that that Nathan come to him and told him that because that he was a man of war, that he wasn't to build a house, and that that would befall upon his son Solomon. And we know here there that David began to work and he began to acquire things that he would help in the construction and the efforts after his death, that Solomon might be able to take those things and to build upon the house of the Lord.
And this morning, that's kindly where we want to go with this. Solomon began his work, we can find here, that Solomon desired of God that he might be granted wisdom and knowledge. This morning, I want to understand something, that we as God's people need to continue to grow in wisdom and knowledge, that God might grant those things to us. That He might open up His Word to us, and that we might continue to grow and to learn of Him and the things that God has done for us. And Solomon desired those things, that he might have an understanding of wisdom and knowledge, that he might be able to judge the people and lead the people. And yet God told him, He said, because you have asked for wisdom and knowledge, and because that is the desire of your heart, He said, not only will I grant those things to you, He said, but I'll also grant unto you riches and wealth and honor. He said, I'll grant those things. This morning, I believe in all of my heart, Solomon had a desire to build a house unto the Lord. And I want you to understand something this morning, that though this is not the temple, this is a place that we come to worship God and uplift His holy name before a lost and dying world. That we are to exalt Jesus Christ, that the lost that are seated around us might know where they stand, that they need to be saved. They need to be saved. I pray that those things settle in our heart, that they need to be saved. And I pray that thought never leaves our heart. Solomon had this desire that he might build a house unto the Lord. Do pray for us for just a little while. It says there that Solomon had determined to build a house for the Lord, and he began construction, that he might dedicate it unto Him. And so the house was to be great, because great is our God. This morning, I want you to understand, as he began to construct this temple there on Mount Moriah, I want you to understand that God was pleased with those things. And I want you to understand and get a picture of just how great this temple was. This morning, as we begin to read about those things, and for time's sake, I'm not going to get into all of it. But I want you to know that he began to construct on this temple, that thousands of men that he had put aside that they might go and labor and quarry out stone, that those stones might be brought back there to Jerusalem, that he might take those stones and set them in place, that those stones were quarried, that God had enabled him to take those things. The Bible says there that the temple was constructed, and as they began to place those stones together, my friend, there was no sound of chisel or hammer or iron tool. As we begin to think about that, how could those things come to be? How could they come to pass? How could you construct something that was 90 feet long, some 30 feet wide, some 45 feet tall, without there being a sound of a hammer or chisel? But yet, my friend, I believe they had a reverence towards God and what they were doing and what they were accomplishing. There was a reverence towards God. My friend, I began to think about all the ones, the saints that have come before us, and they've labored and they've worked, and maybe their names are never to be remembered on our accord. The countless, the thousands, the millions that have perished and went on to glory. We'll never remember their names. We can't even begin to fathom the ones that came before us and have laid the groundwork for us. They've laid the foundation. But my friend, they labored and they worked. They accomplished what it was that God would have them accomplish. As we began to think about Solomon's temple, it wasn't that grand structure and size. My friend, I believe probably today, as we began to look at this sanctuary and this house, it's probably a bigger size than what that temple was. But my friend, it was because the name of the Lord was to dwell in that place was what made it so great. It was because the name of the Lord dwelt in that place, and that it was set up on a hill, and that as people would come and see that place, that they might glory in the Lord, because His presence was there. The Bible says that this temple was of this size, and how it had the two pillars there in the front there upon the porch, which represented that it might establish a strength. I'm going to mess that up. I know I am. They had the two pillars that was erected there. Pray for me this morning. I need the Lord's help. The two pillars to be established was that he shall establish, and that is, it is in his strength. This morning, I want you to understand something. Without God's help, that we can do nothing. My thought really this week come from the understanding, and the Holy Spirit has really just been on my heart and been on my mind this week. And Wednesday night, in all of our efforts, we tried to expound a little bit upon what the office and work is of the Holy Spirit. And as he began to erect this temple, I want you to understand and visualize just what it looked like. It had these pillars as they began to walk in, and inside of it, it had the lampstands, the five lampstands on both sides, and the tables of shewbread, and it had the altar there before you reached the most holy place that was covered in gold. And as you come into the most holy of holies there, my friend, there was the Ark of the Covenant. And inside of that, it was all covered in gold. And upon the walls, they had cherubims that was imprinted upon the walls. And they had palm trees and pomegranates that was covered upon the walls. And you can read about over there in Kings that the whole house was covered in gold. They spared no expense. Solomon did no expense because it was the house of God. He said, great shall the house be, because great is our God. Great is our God. My friend, when we come into the Lord's house, we should have that mindset of how great of a God it is that we serve. How great He is to answer our prayers and to answer our supplications. Great is our God, because at one point we were lost and separated from God. We were blind and we couldn't see. And yet He picked us up out of a miry clay and He set us upon a solid rock. My friend, that's the God that we serve. Great is our God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And as He began to build this temple, my friend, I want you to understand and visualize the magnitude of it. And in my opinion, in all of its array, in all of its beauty, that's not what made it so great. What made it so great was because God dwelt there. What makes this place so great? We are so blessed. Because I believe in my heart we've got one of the most beautiful sanctuaries, and God has blessed this church. But my friend, it's not because of the carpet or the seat covers or any of that stuff. It's because the glory of the Lord is here. It's because His Spirit dwells here. That's what makes this place so great. That's what makes it such a privilege to come into the house of God and to worship Him. Solomon, I'll get into my text. Pray for us. 2 Chronicles in the 5th chapter. As they began to make a dedication unto the house of the Lord, unto the temple, Solomon had done what was instructed to him. He had took the Levites, and they were to bring the Ark of the Covenant into the temple. And as they had placed it into the temple, it says here, and as it began to pass, in the 13th verse of 2 Chronicles in the 5th chapter, and it came to pass as the trumpeters and the singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord, and when they had lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music, and praise the Lord, saying, For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. That then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priest could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house. Psalms 150 and 6 says, Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Let everything. And as they began to make a dedication unto this temple, unto the house of the Lord, it says there that the priests began to use the trumpets and the music, and they come together in one accord. And this morning, that's my earnest desire as God's people, that when we enter into the house of God, that when we come into this sanctuary, that we put the things of the world out from us for just a little while, and that we come together in one accord, in one place, and my friend, that we cry out to the Lord with a music, with a song that's in our heart. My friend, this morning, is there a song in your heart? Is there joy in your heart this morning? Is there a song in there that God has placed in your heart? If it is, let it out. Let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord. Everything. He said as he was there and they began to come in one accord and they began to make music, it said this. It said, and when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and the cymbals and the instruments, it said, and praised the Lord, saying, For he is good. For God is good. He's good all the time. The Bible teaches us to be thankful in everything. In every trial and every tribulation that you're going through, be thankful that God is there and he's present. In every situation, be thankful. Knowing that God is leading and he's directing, you say, Preacher, how is it that we can be thankful in the most trying times? Because we've got one that goes with us. He helps us. And as they begin to cry out to the Lord and praise him because he is good. He is good. It says, And his mercy endureth forever. Then the house was filled with the cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priest could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud. My friend, I've heard people talk about here lately, and even times past, how the church has changed. My friend, just as I told you last Sunday, America to me is still a nation under God. And my friend, you better hope and pray that the old church hadn't changed. You better hope and pray that the church is still the ground and the pillar of truth. My friend, that it's where that souls that are lost can come and seek salvation for their soul. You better hope and pray that she hadn't changed. She's still good to me. It's still his bride. I love the old church and I love what she stands for. You better hope that she hadn't changed because, my friend, we're still a group of independent. Listen, we're an independent party of baptized believers that are gathering together under the understanding of one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. That we come to him and worship him. I've heard people say, well, preacher, things sure have changed the way it was when I was a little boy or when I was growing up. Listen, I don't know. All I can tell you about how it was when I was a little feller and coming up. And honey, I'm telling you something. I'm thankful for those people that had a burden about them. They had a burden that I was lost and they knew that I was dead in my sins and trespasses. They knew. And honey, I'm telling you, when I hit that altar, they hit it too. I thank God for those old time people. Listen to me. When I made my way down there to the altar, they gathered around me. They couldn't save me, but honey, they was pointing me to the one that could. They was lifting up their prayers and supplications to God. Lord, on his behalf, would you save him? And boy, I'm thankful for that. My mind goes back to when I was just that little feller and I come up off of that altar and honey, the glory of the Lord filled that place. The glory of the Lord filled it up. You tell me, listen, I've told you I was just 9 or 10 years old, but honey, the glory of the Lord filled Rocky Mound Church at night. I've heard people say all of my life, they say, boy, we had a good service today. The preacher didn't preach. Y'all remember them? We've all said it before. Boy, I want a service like that. But when that takes place, my friend, God's people get in one accord and praise towards him for the goodness that he's done in their life. And they exalt him. And my friend, the glory of the Lord will fill in. I'm looking forward to those days. Let me ask you something. You believe God can do it? Do you believe that we serve a God big enough today that can come in here and clean our altars off? Boy, if you don't believe that, we've got a long way to go. God is big enough, and he's the only one that can do it. We live in a day and time now that there's so much easy believism. That people believe there's other ways of getting to heaven. Listen to me. The only way that you're going to get there is by a broken heart and a contrite spirit and calling out to the Lord. That's the only way you're going to get it. Repentance towards God and faith in Jesus Christ. He said that the glory of the Lord filled the house so much that the minister couldn't stand him. They couldn't stand a minister. Has things changed? Well, the church hadn't changed. The church is the same. Listen to me. We better hope that the Lord's church hadn't changed. The Lord's church is good. It's his bride. It's his elect. We are a peculiar people. The Bible says. Peculiar. Different from the world. I'll move on. As this come to pass, Solomon, it says there, moving on, it says there in the 12th verse of the next chapter, it says, and Solomon, and he stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the congregation of Israel and spread forth his hands. And Solomon had made a brazen scaffold, 5 cubits long and 5 cubits broad and 3 cubits high, and set it in the midst of the court, and upon it he stood and kneeled down upon his knees before all the congregation of Israel. And he spread forth his hands to heaven and said, O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in heaven nor in earth, which keepeth the covenant and sheweth mercy unto the servants that walk before thee in all their hearts. Thou which hast kept with thy servant David thy father, and that which hast promised him, and speakest with thy mouth, and hast filled it with thine hand, as it is this day. Now therefore, O Lord God Israel, keep with thy servant David of my father that which hast promised him, saying, there shall not fail thee a man in the sight that sit upon the throne of Israel. Yet so that thy children take heed to their way to walk in my law, as thou hast walked before me. Now therefore, O Lord God of Israel, let thy word be verified, which thou hast spoken unto thy servant David. But will God in very deed dwell with men on earth? Behold, heaven and heaven of heavens cannot contain thee, how much this house which I have built. Have respect therefore to the prayer of thy servant and his supplication, O my God. and hearken unto the cry and the prayer which thy servant prayeth before thee, that thine eye may be upon this house day and night, and upon the place where thou hast said that thou wouldest put thy name there, to hearken unto the prayer which thy servant prayed towards this place. Hearken therefore unto the supplication of thy servant unto thy people Israel, which thou shalt make towards this place. Hear thou from thy dwelling place, even from heaven, when thou hearest, forgive. And with the mistakes that we've made reading, our thought would come from here in the 18th verse. He says, but God in his very deed dwelleth with men on earth. Behold, heaven and heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. How much this house which I have built. And this morning I want you to understand the glory of God. I want you to understand what the glory of the Holy Spirit is. And my friend, if you've ever been saved and been born again, I know you've experienced it before. I know that God has revealed it unto you, and He's, my friend, established it in your heart. My friend, this morning I want you to understand that day that Solomon said here, he said, the glory. He said, I realize that the heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee, much less this house that I have built. My friend, I want you to understand this morning that the glory of God, my friend, when He descends in His Holy Spirit, my friend, Jesus said that it was a comfort. And my friend, when it enters into this place, you better watch out. I believe in all of my heart that God is going to do big things. You say, well, preacher, we can't do nothing without the Holy Spirit, and you're just exactly right. I can't do a thing without the help of God. Unless God, just as Isaiah said over there, he said, just as one of the seraphims come and took the tongs and took one of the coals off the altar there and he placed it upon his lips, my friend, unless God helps me, I can do nothing. I can't do a thing, my friend, and neither can you unless the Holy Spirit gets involved. We can't do nothing. But my friend, as God's people, when we start to pray and we begin to realize who it is that we're serving, my friend, the Lord of lords and the King of kings. I'll tell you this. You say, well, preacher, we don't always have to have some great big explosive service. And we don't. Sometimes God just passes by and it's just a sweet peace. And my friend, I believe that in all my heart. But sometimes He comes by and God does great big things. Sometimes He fills you up so much that your cup will begin to roll over. You ever been like that? You ever been there in your life that you just sitting there so much and God just passed by you and your cup just overflowed so much you think, Lord, I can't take no more. And then all of a sudden the Spirit of God just comes out and people say, well, this one over here began to shout and this one over here began to shout. And I'll tell you, that might look foolish to the world, but back home where I was raised up, we called that getting happy. And my friend, this morning, if there's anything about getting happy about, it's what God has done for you in your heart. If there's something this morning worth shouting about, it's about what God has done in your heart this morning. That's what we called it where I was raised up. People would say, well, oh, so-and-so, they got happy, didn't they? Boy, I'm thankful for those old brothers and sisters, when their cup would overflow and they'd begin to shout and you'd look over there at them and all you could do was smile because, boy, you knew God was blessing them. David began to make supplications unto the Lord. He said, Lord, would you remember thy people? He said, would you remember the strangers? I want you to know something. Well, I'll finish up. In the 7th chapter, 2 Chronicles, it says, when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. Not only had the cloud come in, and it was so thick that the ministers couldn't minister. But the fire came down from heaven, and it consumed their sacrifice. My friend, this morning, what is it that we're sacrificing for the Lord? What is it this morning that we're presenting to God and saying, listen, take me and use me for your honor and for your glory? Listen to me this morning. If there ever was a time this morning that we need to have a burden for lost people, it's now. We can't save them. I realize that. But my friend, when lost people are seated amongst God's people, they shouldn't be comfortable. They shouldn't be comfortable. They shouldn't be comfortable. You say, well, preacher, that's awful hard words. Listen to me. When we began to look on miraculous things that took place on the day of Pentecost, the Lord had been with them some 40 days. And He began to descend, and He went up into heaven. And two angels there appeared unto them, clothed in white raiment. And He said, why you stand here gazing? Why? He said, He's gone. He said, get to work. Why you stand here gazing? And during those times, some 50 days, the day of Pentecost came. But while they were seated there, they weren't just not doing nothing. But it says they were in prayer. And I believe they were in prayer and they meditated upon the Word of God. And they were in one accord, the Bible says. And then the Bible says on the day of Pentecost that the Spirit came in as a rushing mighty wind. So much so as Peter began to stand up, they said, he's drunk on new wine. And Peter said, it's only the third hour. And he began to preach unto them about Jesus and the resurrection. And the Bible says that they were pricked in their heart. My friend, I believe this morning that the Bible teaches me that the Spirit of God will rebuke and it will reprove. It will go out. And I believe in all of my heart this morning that those that are lost and seated in our midst, listen to me. The Spirit of God will have its work. You know, that temple and all of its glory and all of its greatness was destroyed some 400 years later. It took 7 years to build. We're still building on this thing. God has given us today, right now, that we come in here and we praise Him and we worship Him and we thank Him for everything that He's given us. This house is a beautiful place. But my friend, I'll tell you right now that we don't have to be here. These four walls, my friend, does not dictate the church. It's not the Lord's church. It's a place that we come and worship Him. But my friend, I hope and pray each and every time that we gather into the Lord's house, we're asking Him, Lord, there's those that are lost and they need to be saved. That the glory of the Lord might come into this place. Listen to me this morning, if you're hearing lost, I want to say this and I'm done. There's going to come a time. And I don't know when that time will be. But I know in my heart, because of what God done for me, that He's going to prick you right here in your heart. And maybe He already has. That word is going to hit you, and it's going to cut you. And it's going to show you what you are. And I pray that it has that effect on you. I pray that it tears you down. And when it does, and God pricks you right here, I pray that you turn to the Lord. I pray that you cry out to God. Because the greatest thing that'll ever happen to you, it outweighs marriage, it outweighs children, it outweighs a job, it outweighs everything that you might acquire in this life, is being saved. It's the greatest thing that you'll ever experience. To know that when you come to this end of this walk of life, when you get ready to lay this walk of life down, I don't know when that'll be, but when you draw your last breath, that you'll get to enter into the portals of glory. My friend, that's the greatest thing that'll ever happen to you. I've heard people say, well, I'd give it to my children if I could. Listen to me, I'm greedy with mine. I'm not going to give mine what? Because I've got confidence in God that what He's done for me, that He'll do for my children. He's promised us those things. And what He's done for you, He'll do for others. What He's given me is mine. It doesn't take me laying my life down. There was far one greater than Solomon that came. Solomon, in all his glory, there was one greater than him. And his name was Jesus. This morning, if you've never been saved, if you've never been born again, I want in my heart for you to be saved more than anything. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not going to drag you down the altar. But my friend, if God's Word pricks you in your heart and He lets you know you're lost, then it's time to seek Him. Don't run from God, but run to God. One of the greatest things that ever happened to me, salvation of my soul. What about you this morning? Is there a song in your heart? Did He pick you up out of that miry clay and set you upon a solid rock? Does your mind go back to when it was that it happened? Can you remember what it felt like after you prayed through? I don't remember what I prayed. All I know is this in here was hurting. It was hurting. And I cried out to the Lord. And when He saved me, it was gone. And I opened my eyes up there at Rocky Mount, and I come up off of that altar. Brother Mike said their countenance changed. I'm going to tell you this, and I'm not trying to confuse nobody, but it sure did look like everybody else's countenance changed to me. It was the greatest thing that ever happened. What about you this morning? That's our message. Brother Jordan, if you'd get us a song, brother.
Breathe, breathe. Taxes, and that was to be done today. Traditionally, we've done that by having the deacons at the doors for the convenience of anybody who would want to make a donation. Also, while I'm standing, I'd like to propose a little bit of a modification to the handshake. We also received a letter and voted to accept Sister Jessica Cole as a member of the church, and traditionally, it's been a tradition that I enjoy very much. We offer a hand of welcome and friendship to her. So if it'd be okay with you and everybody else, I'd like to see her come up to the front.